She demanded two breakfasts this morning. She had a cereal. She went, I said, do you want cereal or cheesy crumpets? And she went, cereal first, then cheesy crumpets.
Cheesy crumpets. Sounds amazing. Can you make me some cheesy crumpets the next time I come down? That sounds great.
Yeah. Have you?
No, I've never
It's
had your
just
cheesy crumpets.
cheese on toast, but instead of toast, it's crumpets.
Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. Don't start. Yes, it is weekly. I just had a week off. All right, it's allowed. This week, we are talking about EastEnders between the 22nd to the 25th of July, 2024. Hello. Hi, we are back. I promise I have no more time off booked until October. All right. So we're here now for the foreseeable. No more holidays for either of us, I don't think, for a little while. So all being well, you've got us for the long run now. Welcome back, Ree. How are you this week? All right.
I'm good, thank you, Rob. How was your time in Budapest?
Oh, I love Budapest. Have you ever been? It's great.
I've not been to
Budapest.
Budapest,
Oh,
no.
I spent an entire week drunk. It was marvelous.
God.
Honestly, drink. Oh, it's so cheap there. Honest, for a city, the capital of Hungary, it's really, really cheap. I went to a theme park, which was the maddest theme park I've ever been to. Like randomly, we just saw it on the list, and was just like, "We'll go there, shall we?" And it was insane, like ridiculous rides.
I feel like you wouldn't like rides.
I love a
You like
ride,
going on
me.
rides?
Some rides, yeah, but
Rides.
some rides, I think everybody's
Okay.
got a limit as to what ride they don't
Yeah.
do. And I'm not very good at, I don't like those rides that sort of, as long as I feel safe in a ride, then I'm fine.
Yes.
If I don't feel
Yes.
safe, and if I look at a ride and think I'm not going to feel safe on that, I won't go on it. But
Okay.
like
Yep. Same as me.
roller coasters and everything, not a problem.
Oh,
But
no.
things that like are really high and like a turn, like you know those massive swing rides, you know, where you just go,
Yes,
I
I was just
hate, no,
thinking that
never in
when
a
you said
million years,
that.
never in a million years you're going to get me on one of them because I don't feel safe. It's so I'm held together 100 foot up in the air by two chains. Get lost. I ain't going
There
on
were
one of
one
them.
of those on my local park the other week, and I was
No.
like, are you joking, man? No, thank
No,
you.
no, 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 no. So yeah, I've eaten a lot. I've drank a lot. I've had like 40-degree sun beating down on me. So
Oof.
I've had a great time. It's been
Oof.
marvelous.
40
But I'm.
degrees there, Rob.
It was really hot. We were in the middle of a heat wave down there as well. It was. Yeah. It was a thing. But I'm back now. So hello, and my goodness me, did I choose a bad week to have off last week, didn't I?
Yes,
Because
you
it was a
did,
bit of a
Rob.
busy week. Bit of a busy week. Sorry about that. Let's talk about last week, shall we? Because
Yes.
it was quite the week. So, the mysterious phone calls that Ian had been having, we
Yes.
theorized who it could be, but it was revealed in, let's be fair, an unspoiled surprise return
Yes, it
of
was
the
actually, yeah.
fabulous, wonderful Laurie Brett as
Yes.
Jane. Now,
Yes.
I loved it. I loved it so much. Just like,
Everything.
everything about it was great
I
because,
feel, yeah.
go on.
I was just gonna say, I feel like we needed to see Cindy and Jane meet.
Honestly, it's
That
like
was just
the
perfect.
it was the meeting of two characters that we didn't know we needed to happen until it was sort of like, oh
Right.
wait, this could happen. Yeah, we need that to happen. I mean, as soon as Cindy came back, we were like, well, we need Jane back at some point then because that conversation needs to happen. Because you do not realize until these two are actually in the same room how much kind of anger and resentment there's going to be between these two women. All right. So obviously everything that Jane did to Lucy in terms of taking her body to the woods and dumping her in the woods just to protect Bobby, there's all that. But then at the same time, Jane's other son, Cindy's other son, shot out her womb. Only then he's Demetrius in a
I
sentence
like
like that during an argument.
I temporarily forgot about that until Jake came out with it, and I was like,
Yeah.
oh,
It's a
is that
line, isn't
brand
it?
new information to Cindy?
No.
Did Ian not?
No,
Did
she didn't
Ian
know
fail to
that.
mention that
Of
to
course he
her?
did. Of
That's
course he
quite a
did.
big thing to fail to mention
Yeah,
there, Ian.
didn't mention that. So they have got that sort of. I mean, it just stuns me that since the hypocrisy of Cindy, she has zero right to grieve about any of her children sometimes. I swear to God, she really, really.
Well, you
Come
say that,
on.
Rob.
Come
No,
on.
I agree, Rob. I agree to an extent, but still, Jane did drag Lucy's
Oh, I
body to
know.
Alford
Both
Common
in the
and bury
wrong.
her.
Both in the wrong.
But neither of them are perfect. Hey, and don't get me wrong, I absolutely love Jane. Jane can drag another dead body to Walford Common. Yeah. I don't care. I'd forgive her. But from Cindy's perspective, you know, kind of fair. Kind of fair.
The only person, I mean, apart from Ian, obviously, the only person, and Peter, but like, she's got a right to be angry about it, but at the same time, it's very easy to go, and what about you, missus? You know, it's... I mean, there was a great slap. Love a slap. Good slap between Cindy and Jane. Yes.
I loved them. I loved the fact that they were both drinking red wine. I was like, Ian loves a red wine drinker wife, doesn't he? Look at him.
Oh, it's just hilarious. But then, I mean, also talking about Cindy's hypocrisy is the fact that she followed Ian there with George.
With George.
Purely because Elaine was like, oh, she's feeling humiliated. Yes, go. I want to hear all the gossip.
I know.
But it's just the hypocrisy because she thought that Ian was having an affair. And it's like, really, Cindy? Really? Why these two don't just have an open marriage? I do not know. It would make them both a lot happier.
I mean, obviously, she wouldn't want a partner to have an affair, but is she that bothered if Ian did have an affair, really? Do you think it's more the principle of, but I'm the one who has affairs, not you?
Yeah, literally, that's my thing. Don't you do it.
Yeah.
It's a humiliation for Cindy, I think. I think she sort of feels that Ian is the one person that just won't let her down because he's too much of a doormat. And for him to sort of go above the position that she sees him in is just completely and utterly out of order.
Mm. And she thinks she's got him wrapped around a little finger and he idolises Cindy, so...
Yeah. So when Ian eventually stood up to her and said no... And I think we're over, to be honest. I think we're done. She was absolutely floored.
Yeah.
And then Ian tried to kiss Jane. So the pair of them are a mess. An absolute mess. This marriage is just literally, it's not even a marriage.
Brilliant. It's brilliant.
It's brilliant to watch. I absolutely love it because it's such a messy relationship. Neither of them are there because they are like fully in love with the other person. I think Ian is more in love with Cindy than Cindy is with him. Cindy is there purely because Ian is just a safe pair of shoes, basically. An old pair of slippers.
Yep.
And Ian is there because he does love her, but they nailed it, didn't they, with that conversation between Ian and George where they basically describe Cindy as an addiction.
Addiction, yeah, definitely.
She's worse. She's harder to get over than nicotine, that woman. That's earlier hits.
I feel like, because otherwise I'm thinking, why is George involved in all this? But I think it was just so that we could have that scene with George and Ian, so Ian could see that George isn't a threat. Mm. I think that's why George went along, because otherwise I'm thinking, why is George involved in this meeting? But I think that's what it was.
I mean...
Conversation.
I know, and I loved all that. I loved George just kind of sat there like, wow, you lot are chaos. I thought I had problems. Jesus Christ, you lot are crazy. What? Dragging a body? So your daughter did that? What? That's mad. Absolutely mad. No wonder he doesn't want to go anywhere near Cindy. He's much better off with Elaine, except will he be happy with Elaine in the future? Their wedding's been announced. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's yes. Brilliant. I think,
oh,
yes.
Chaos coming.
What about Jane and Bobby meeting? We spoiler Nino, Nino, Nino. Do we think this is the leading to Bobby?
I think so. Leaving? Yeah, I think that's a really nice way for Bobby to exit. He can go and be happy with the best mother figure he's ever had in his entire life. He was prepared to do anything to protect him. And it's actually the only person that Bobby has ever actually had in his life that is prepared to give him that much love and protection. It would make perfect sense for him to go off with Jane at this stage, I think.
And more so that she's got Masood there, who's obviously Muslim.
How is it? I mean.
That's why he's going to end up going there, because then they can bond over that with his new stepfather, I'm wondering.
Returns. We should discuss returns in a moment.
Oh, okay.
There's a big old discussion I want to have about returns that was all sort of kicking off last week. The other big storyline of last week was Anna's spiking.
Yes.
Now, this was because basically the whole of last week was all about the Beals. Like, no other characters really featured if they weren't Beals connected
night.
To the Beals. It was Beal week, wasn't it? It was a big old Beal week. And so whilst Bobby were kind of huddled away in a van to sort of see what Ian was up to. So all the Beals were over there dealing with the Jane drama, which meant that Anna, Gina, Felix, they went out for a night out and Freddie, of course, and Anna got her drink spiked. Now, the way this all played out was we sort of saw bits and pieces of it, but I think the majority of it was filmed in a separate sort of thing that you had to scan a QR code to go online and watch bigger details about the storyline. Did that work?
No.
I don't think it did either.
I think it did.
I think that for a storyline as important as talking about spiking, it needed to be as accessible as possible. And
yes,
I feel
accessible
like...
is the word. Because you know what? I scanned the QR code and I got confused, and I'm quite tech savvy. Because all it took you to was a link for the Instagram page, TikTok and all that. And I'm like, what's this? Is this just a... All right. And then I clicked on it. I clicked on the Instagram one. By the time I'd gone on that, there'd been other posts. So, I'm confused. Is this just so they can get more Instagram followers?
I think it was
and
a very
then I
important...
realised that they were all on there, obviously.
I think it was a very important storyline to do, and I feel like they didn't go the full hog with it, because I think that the problem was, I think, that they were trying to do it at the same time as the Ian, Jane and Cindy stuff. Now, I found that I was a lot more interested in that than what was going on with Anna, because because it was very much the B. It felt all of it. It wasn't like the spiky stuff was ever the A plot of the week. It was all about what was going on immediately with the Beals. And the spiking was sort of taking a back step to everything that was going on. And even that conversation, those scenes that were kicking off in the cottage, I kind of wanted just to be a 4, 5, 6 hander. The whole episode should have just focused
on location,
that. And then maybe, and then maybe done the Anna spiking stuff later in the week so they could really focus on it. I mean, everything that was filmed about that was great. You know, I watched it all online. It was all, it was all well done and everything.
I don't think they were that great online either.
Maybe not. They weren't given enough meat to really sort of do the storyline justice, I don't think.
It was that, and the thing for me, right, I feel like I understand why they did it. They've alienated a huge amount of audience, because there's so many people aren't going to go online and watch it, so they've missed loads
So maybe they wouldn't even know it was there, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly, right? And then the thing I didn't like was how it was Felix's point of view, like you were filming it, and I get why they did it, but it didn't work, because to me, that was quite insensitive that he would have gone and filmed all that stuff happening.
They didn't feel realistic that anyone would film all that sort of thing.
Exactly.
No.
The only part that felt realistic that you might film was when we saw Anna in the cab, just so that they've got evidence. But if you're supposed to be streaming all this live, then it's just really not cool. And then there were other bits, now, like, you won't film that. You won't be filming that. It kind of broke the fourth wall for me a bit too much, if I'm honest, with the fact that he's supposedly filming this. Were you streaming it live or were you just uploading it? I don't know which one.
Yeah.
Streaming it live.
It was just being filmed, I think, and then it was sort of... I think the plan was... Because they started of going, oh, we're going to get drunk. I think it was... I think it should have had more...
Because the
thing is, what we got in the episodes almost felt quite a bit incomplete if you weren't aware that those things were there, because Anna got spiked and then she sort of wandered away and then... We were led to believe that the guy that spiked her was standing over her and holding his hand out to her. And we were like, oh my God, Anna's about to be taken away by this bloke. But then the next thing that happens is that she wakes up in hospital. So we're sort of left with a bit of a kind of like, wait, what happened there then? It felt a bit unclear, I think. Ooh. And if you didn't know that those things were online, it doesn't really answer a lot of questions and maybe doesn't do the topic justice.
Do you think that was supposed to be symbolic of that's how Anna experienced
Anna's
the
memory of it, maybe. And then maybe the online stuff was to fill in the gaps.
But again, that weren't that clear. I've only just thought of that when you described it. So it weren't clear when you're watching it. Yeah, I mean, I thought it were good though, but I think it would have worked way better if they'd have just done the scenes that they did online as actual scenes and had it as part of the episode. I get they were being experimental, and I get as well, like, some of it might have felt a bit too, what's the word? Come on, you know, when they try and do all special effects, like when Anna were hallucinating Gina and Felix
Stenesque.
And stuff.
And the problem with the whole doing it with the whole online thing and the QR codes, like, I mean, it's easy to say that, you know, only the youth will find that accessible. And I'm sure there are people a lot older that are perfectly capable of doing all that sort of thing. But I think what you're in danger of doing there is sort of saying that the young people are the ones that are more, I mean, yes, obviously it's more common for young girls to get spiked, but it can happen to anybody.
So if
you're really wanting to show off the dangers and the signs of someone being spiked, I think that needed to be as accessible as possible. I think putting the two storylines together possibly wasn't the best way of doing that. I think it should have been made more of a point.
I know we're going to, because it's kind of just been left on, she reported it to the police. Is there going to be anything else come of it? It just feels like it was there to experiment with the QR code thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I wouldn't mind seeing there? A little spin-off series online of the gang going on nights out and stuff and making it an actual
Like
thing.
E20-esque sort of thing, like
Yeah,
the whole series.
exactly. Yeah, exactly. I don't feel like the point of view worked though, because you don't do that. I get why they're doing it, but do people really video their entire night out like Felix did? I don't think anyone does.
I
Let's
don't
be
even take photos of when
honest.
I go on holiday most of the time.
Well, we're probably not the right generation to be
No, we're
asking this
far too
question, but
old.
I
Far
dare
too
say that
old.
even Gen Z don't do that, if I'm quite
Well, we,
honest with
let's
you.
be, let's not pretend that there wasn't such a thing as video cameras when we used to go out all the time at uni.
Oh,
It
well,
was a thing.
we
Was a
uploaded
thing.
like 200 pictures onto a Facebook album from one night
Yeah,
out. I
those were the
definitely
days.
used to do that.
Yes.
Gen Z
So
cringe at that.
I know. So good ideas.
Yes, good
Maybe not the
ideas,
best.
definitely.
Maybe not the best execution in terms of the Anna Spiker
No.
storyline, I would say, which is a shame because there's a really powerful storyline to be told there. And
I agree.
I think maybe they undersold themselves a little bit because we know that EastEnders can do a storyline like that with its eyes closed.
Yeah.
Okay, that's EastEnders can wake up and do a storyline like that before even having its coffee in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
So I get that they tried to do things a little bit differently, but I think that maybe it didn't stick the landing quite as well as all the Jane stuff and all that. I mean, the
Yeah.
Jane Cindy stuff was all the soapy stuff, wasn't it, that people were sort of looking forward to because it was these two characters that we wanted to meet for the first time ever. And I think that that very much overshadowed what they were trying to do with the spiking storyline. So
Yeah, agreed.
we'll see what happens in the future with it. But
Can I just
there
ask
you
one
go.
last question though?
Yes, you may, of course.
Anna got mugged not too long ago.
You
Are
reckon
these
it's
linked
connected?
somehow? I
Could be
don't know.
connected. Could be
Because I'm
connected.
wondering why
She,
is
either
it
that
that
or she's
she got mugged
unlucky.
and then spiked?
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, you've got a point. Yeah, it might be
perhaps she is
connected.
unlucky, or is it the same guy?
She lives
Is
in
he
Walford.
targeting her for
Anything can
some
happen to
reason?
anybody in any time, in any time zone. But
Exactly.
it's a perfectly good point. Yeah,
What if
they
he's
are they
stalking her
connected?
online or something, and that's
Could
why
be.
Felix has been doing it? The thought is that he's been tagging Anna. I don't know. Just
Maybe,
wondered. Just a
maybe,
thought.
maybe put a pin in that, perhaps. So, going back to
Yes.
the subject of returns.
Oh.
Not only did we have Jane back last week, which was brilliant, and I hope we see her again. I love Jane.
I know
So
we're not
glad to see
doing
her
gold
back.
stars till last week, but if we are, Jane.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Jane and yeah, let's do Jane and Cindy for last week, yeah?
Yeah,
There. It's
yeah,
our podcast. We do what
yeah.
we like. Stick them on the list.
Yeah,
Jane
there
and
we go.
Cindy for last week. There you go. But on the subject of returns, obviously we had Jane. We had Masood hinted at this week. We've got,
Yes.
this is all spoiler stuff here. So, Nina, 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 Nina.
Nina, Nina.
We've got the return of Chrissy to come in
Yes,
future
yep.
weeks. And another return was announced last week that Michael French is resuming, the prop king himself is resuming his role as David. For a
Wicks.
few David Wicks, thank you. I knew his name. I had it written down. I just didn't look at it. David Wicks, for a short stint as well. Now I feel like there is very much a stage of a world where Bianca's coming back soon as well. Her
Right,
storyline felt a
Bianca's
bit
100%
incomplete.
coming back because
Yes,
Patsy
for
Palmer is on
reasons.
Instagram posting that she's back in the UK again, so she must be coming back to EastEnders,
Yeah,
right? Let's be
and
real.
given what occurred this week, well,
What with Reese, do you mean?
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, all right.
But let's talk
Go on,
returns.
sorry.
We are in the
Yes,
run
let's
up to
talk
the
returns.
40th episode. We're still many months away from the 40th
Yes.
anniversary, but these returns seem to be coming thick and fast. And it seems to be the run up to it is going to be return, 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 and just sort of go through some of EastEnders' best remembered characters and give them one last little blast of the limelight in order for the 40th, which is a lovely way of celebrating the show. I love that. I think that's a really clever idea. However, where
Oh.
is this leading to? Is this leading to, are the returns just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger leading into the 40th? Has Clenners managed to do the impossible? Are we heading towards a short stint of the return of the Tolster? Has he managed to play the ace return card? Is that where we are heading? I wonder. Is Susan Tully finally going to be able to be persuaded to return as Michelle for a short stint for the
Well,
anniversary?
you think about it, Martin's just been to see her as well. She's been mentioned, and
Sharon's still
we've had
around.
these little clues being planted about quite a few people, and then the next thing they're coming back. Like David got a mention the other week. Now he's been announced.
Geeta got a mention this week, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Geeta?
Yeah, I do.
Sanjay and Geeta. Yeah, she got a mention this week, which I loved. I mean, even if Geeta doesn't return, I just love the fact that we've got a team who knows who Geeta is and who can just say, oh, yeah, it's Cindy's best mate. Yeah, we remember that. Yeah, throw her in. Great. Love it. Love it. Love it. So what a team to have in charge of
Do
all
you
of this,
think
but
he has managed it?
could it be? Could it
Could
be?
be he'll
Dare we
just
hope?
like for
Dare
one
we dream?
episode or
Yeah,
something.
I mean, I don't think, she has made it perfectly clear over the years. Like, no, I'm done. That was
I'm done here.
that was then, and this is now, and I'm now. And she's now a very successful TV director. Like, she directs things like Line of Duty, the BBC's biggest shows.
Yeah.
Like, she does not need in any way to return for this. So this is only if they've managed to persuade her. Come on, it's the
It's
40th.
Clenners though, isn't
Clenners
it?
has the magic touch, I think.
He
If
has. He
he
can persuade anyone.
can, has he managed to do it for the 40th, I wonder? And is this all these of a like the pack of cards of returning, 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 and right at the top is the Ace of Spades, the Susan Tully return. Is that what we're gonna get? I
How
wonder.
do you think he gets them? Do you think he has all these ideas written down for storylines? And then he just meets up with him and he's like, hang on, hear me out, right? This is the idea. And then he just sells it to him. And then they're like, yeah, I'm coming back.
He's clearly got the gift of the
Done
gab.
straight
Gift of the gab.
away.
Laurie Brett said in her interview, like, well, yeah, he explained the storyline to me. And I was like, well, yeah, obviously I've got a return for that. That sounds great. Like, yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, she is,
Yeah.
and I feel like all these returns are very much leading up to something. I feel like this isn't the
I
sort
know what you're
of,
saying.
I feel like this is, if this isn't just going to be characters coming back for the sake of it, there's going to be a proper storyline for them to return to, even if it's a short
What
stint. There's going to be a necessary
you
reason.
don't think it's going to be a whodunit and it's all going to be related to one person or something,
Who
or is
knows?
it our theory that we'll probably be discussing in a bit actually?
But who else could be returning? I mean, yes, obviously Susan Tully would be like amazing, and that would be like the ultimate thing. But I feel like, given the storylines we've got going at the minute, it would say, so if we've got David
Well,
returning, we've got Bianca, we think returning,
yeah. Carol,
Carol,
that's what I was just thinking. Carol,
that has to happen
surely.
surely. If David and Bianca are back on screen
And
together, then sure you
Max,
need
maybe
Carol.
Carol and Max.
Max,
We've been saying Max for a while.
yeah, I think Max feels like a guaranteed one. I would also throw into the mix Grant. I think that with Phil's loneliness
Oh, yeah,
storyline,
of course,
I think this will be a
yeah.
perfect time for Grant to come back for a little bit. Ross Kemp's in the UK, there's things like Bridge of Lies and everything, so he should be available, I think. So I think Grant, they always like to bring Grant back for when they can. So I feel like Grant's very much on the cards.
Grant and Jane, forgot about
Oh yeah,
that.
see? Oh, can you imagine when David comes back? Like, Cindy's not gonna have any idea
Oh,
who she's
God.
supposed to be sleeping with. You know what I mean? Like, all of these are people that she could be having
George,
affairs
Judge
with.
Junior,
She's gonna be
David.
a busy girl. So it's very, very, very exciting. I've no idea what madness they might have planned for the 40th. And the thing is, I think that this is in some ways more exciting than what we had for the run-up to the 30th, because we knew exactly what we were getting for the 30th. It's like, right, okay, so this is gonna be the 30th is gonna be the Who Killed Lucy reveal, and that's gonna all gonna be huge. We've got live week, it's gonna be massive, all right. But we had an idea of what we were getting. I feel like we have pretty much zero clue what we're getting for the 40th at this stage, which feels exciting because clearly there is stuff planned, and Clenners has said in interviews, don't worry, it's all in hand. Oh, don't settle down. I'm just not telling you yet. All right, just settle,
Do you think
settle,
there's going
settle.
to be one big event that happens on the 40th, or do you think it's just going to be boom, 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 like for like a
Who
month?
knows? Who knows? But I feel like the way that these returns are being layered throughout this year, I feel like it's very deliberate the way that they're doing it. So it's presumably leading to something enormous. So I can't wait. It's really exciting. I'm so glad we do a podcast about this show right now, Ree. Isn't it the
Perfect
best? Isn't it
timing.
the
I'm
best
so
job in
glad
the
I came
world?
on board when Clenners
There.
were here.
You're
Yeah.
welcome.
Thank you.
Very, very exciting. Right. This week, however, other stuff has kicked off. We shall let you have your smug moment later on in the podcast, Ree. This is coming, yes.
I've been
But we have
practicing
a.
my smug face.
Oh, you've been basing it on my photos, have you? Is that what Ree says that I've got a smug face. We've had this discussion. Can you
Been through
believe that?
this before.
Believe that.
It's because I asked Rob to send me a selfie for something
And I sent her the
the day after.
nicest selfie that I've got of me, a selfie
It's
that
a
I really
lovely.
like.
No, it's genuinely really
And she's
nice
like, that's the
selfie as well.
smuggest face I've ever seen. I
It
was like,
is the smuggest face I've ever. I think Rob was a little bit upset by it. I'm
can you
sorry,
believe
Rob.
that? Can you believe that?
It is still a beautiful photo, but you have just got a
I mean,
smug
I'll
face.
stick it
Anyway,
here. I'll
we've
stick it
already done
right here.
this.
No, I'm going to stick it right here. And you can tell me in the comment section. Be honest,
Okay.
I can take
Oh,
it.
you just
I
want
can
to show
take
off that
it.
lovely
I can
photo,
take
don't
it.
you, Rob? You
Yeah,
just want to
some
show off that
people
lovely picture.
out of the, yeah, I mean, thousands of people sometimes watch us. So someone in there will fancy me, even if they do think I'm a bit smug. Right, let's start talking about the madness that occurred this week. So we've got a lot to get through. And we're going to start off with the Kat and Tommy storyline, because that is really going to be a big storyline going forward for the next few months. So let's get on with this week's proper Albert Square After Dark. Right then, let's talk about this week. And like I say, we should start with Tommy, Kat and Alfie. And my goodness me, has this storyline taken a slightly dark turn. So, Tommy is continuing to sort of rebel. He is turning into a little shite, isn't he? He really, really is. Not a nice kid at the moment whatsoever.
A little Michael Moon. Might you say?
Yes, I feel like father like son could definitely be applied in this situation. But then, it's a mad thing that Alfie is the most positive male cat figure in his entire life.
That is true, actually. I didn't really think about it
You
like
know,
that.
With Phil as well. I mean, do you blame Phil for any of this? I feel like he's going to get blamed for a lot of it. But
you were just saying that, and then I'm thinking, out of everyone, Phil would be like, you don't punch him.
Oh, Phil would go, even though Phil did hit Peggy. But, he was drunk.
But he's still.
No excuse whatsoever. But, yes. But, yeah, we've seen, though, because I remember that when Denny hit Sharon, like, Phil went absolutely ape, didn't he? So, he would be furious when he discovered
this.
Oh,
then there is a common denominator there, isn't there, I guess, of Phil being the stepfather.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to wonder if this is where Denny eventually was going to end up anyway. So I feel like Tommy is very much sort of treading in Denny's footsteps here before they decided to kill him off, because Denny hit Sharon and was a similar little thug in a lot of ways, you know. So going in a similar direction.
There's a lot of culture like that, though, around young boys as well, isn't there, that we're seeing like these days. So I don't know. I personally think it's very much the nature v nurture argument of Michael Moon. That's all I'm seeing.
Well,
especially when he was like, "Oh, I'm really good at lying. It comes really easily to me," and he's quite charming with it as well, isn't he?
He's really kind of got the manipulation of Michael Moon going. Like, there wasn't a modicum of guilt for anything that Tommy did this week. So he is turning into a nasty, nasty little character. Him and Kat are basically just falling out all week. Kat's trying to get him shifts at the laundrette. He's getting mouthy with Yolandi, which instantly makes me think,
sit down,
sir. Don't you start on Yolandi. I'm there. I'll go through the TV screen and slap you around the head. You behave yourself. And he's basically just rebelling. He has decided that he doesn't consider Alfie to be his dad. I mean, he isn't his dad, but he's basically the best dad figure that he's ever had. And this is Alfie. You know, I mean, it's not perfect, but it's just
the imagination.
It says
a lot, really, because he's not been there all the time.
That Alfie is his best option. But he's basically decided that Phil is the person that he wants as a father figure in his life. And now Phil, obviously, as we discovered last week, is now going through this loneliness storyline. So this works for Phil big time, because Tommy's all ready to move in with Phil.
But you know what? I kind of get Tommy's point of view on the Phil thing, though, because that's a huge loss for a kid. Kids get attached to, particularly grown-ups, in the home, feeling like that was his forever home.
He's had no end of upheaval throughout his entire life, hasn't he? He's one of these kids that, you know, bless Kat. She's done her best, but she's not exactly a stable figure in terms of relationships.
But this is what's frustrating about it. He's blaming Kat, and it's like, it's Phil who cheated, and you just expect your mum to just go back to him. He's blaming... Tommy, that's not how it works. You're disappointed, and I get it. Maybe I get why Kat's trying to not have Phil's influence, but maybe she should meet some kind of medium ground and say, right, maybe meet up with Phil once a week and have that time with him. I don't know.
Yeah, because Phil, I think Kat is also punishing Phil for what he's done separately. Like, disregarding Tommy completely, she has got her own agenda to settle with Phil.
She's been hearing from everyone, don't let Phil influence your kid a lot as well. So I think it's a bit
That never works well for Kat, because Kat's always been one of these people that that needs to make her own mind about things. And she's got lots of people telling her to do things. She's quite like, she's just doing completely the opposite just to spite them. So it's all a bit messier on that front at the moment. It did result in a great line from Kat this week, which I quite enjoyed, that says that she Rush more than Phil.
Very Kat. Very on brand Kat as well.
Talking of Kat, this did result in the arguments continued until it resulted in Tommy punching her in the stomach. Kat then pushed him away, which I don't think you can really do, you can really argue with.
Right. This is, but that's quite an important thing that happened, because Tommy's trying to make out like she was completely in the wrong for pushing him. And I feel like, of course, you shouldn't hit a child or harm a child. However, if someone's just punched you in the stomach, your natural reaction may well be to push them. That's like
course.
That's like a fight or flight
of
response.
Course.
You just punch someone. You just punch them in the stomach. That's a reaction.
The fact that he fell over on the floor is like, oh, go on then, little man. You know, he felt a little bit humiliated, I think, at that point, so he decided to rebel even further. But what this has been announced as, this is the start of a full-on domestic abuse storyline between Tommy and Kat. Initial reaction to this is that I'm delighted for Jessie Wallace, because she's been a supporting character for quite a long time as Kat. So this is the first big storyline she's had of her own for quite a long time. So that's good. Jessie Wallace obviously will knock this out of the park. You know, we know Jessie Wallace. And Sonny Kendall actually has not had a huge amount to do since he had some big stuff maybe a couple of years ago, I think, which we first sort of noticed, oh, this kid's good. This kid will be great. So we know that he will do this well. He's already making Tommy so unlikable. So he's playing that very well. But yeah, this is very much the start of a big storyline for the pair of them. So when you discover this, what was your initial reaction to how you think this is going to play out?
That is what I thought. I thought this is going to carry on then. I was surprised that Kat told Alfie so soon, but obviously that's because social services were involved.
Yeah.
But the fact that she kept, that her initial feeling was to keep it quiet, and I think she's going to continue now because of social services being involved. I don't even think she's going to keep telling Alfie that it's happening. She's going to act like everything's okay, which is what's going to lead to Tommy carrying on. I don't know how far it's going to go. I don't know if there's going to be some...
I wonder if Alfie will... It's interesting because we've seen... Because obviously Alfie has been on the receiving end of one of Tommy's lashing outs himself. So he knows that it's a thing. Now, the fact that he's now moved on to giving his abuse to Kat is obviously quite a big thing. You know, like Alfie's going to be like, right, okay, so this is escalated big time. And again, I feel like this, all the blame is going to be laid at Phil's door for this, because Phil has very much sort of stepped in and is trying to be the cool father figure. And, you know, Tommy will walk into the boxing ring when he's supposed to be at school, and Phil's like, oh, well, that's fine. You can box here. That's okay. I'm the cool guy, which Tommy obviously falls for completely. But I think that's just ignorance on Phil's part and him trying to sort of get somebody into his life rather than him battling against Kat and Alfie,
Times were different when Phil were probably his age as well. It'd be normal to wag school and go down to a boxing den, wouldn't it? No big deal, what are you on about?
Let's not pretend that Kat and Alfie had a brilliant attendance records at school, let's be fair here.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, as you get older, supposedly, you know, you sort of have it, and when it concerns your own children, you want your kids to be an absolute cherub and go to school every single day. So your own hypocrisy kind of disappears into the background a little bit with things like that, doesn't it? So yeah, this is interesting. I agree with you that I was surprised that Kat told Alfie so quickly, but I was delighted that she did, because actually I thought that resulted in a really strong scene, not only between Kat and Alfie. It's kind of cementing the reason that these two work together so well, I think, because I feel like there's been times where the Kat and Alfie thing since Alfie's return has been felt a little bit forced in places, but I feel like it really worked here because they aren't talking about romance. They're not talking about getting back together. They're talking about parents who are dealing with a really difficult child, and they have to do that together. They have to work together to make something better come out of this situation. And it resulted in, I thought, a great scene between Tommy and Alfie. I loved that scene. Go on.
I was just gonna say, I loved how Alfie walked in and was like, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy. Mm. And then the way that he said that first bit, where
switched
like,
it, yeah.
Have I got blue eyed Tommy, or have I got a little thug?
Yeah, really nicely
Tommy,
done scene
like,
that
oh,
was.
I liked
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was a good, really, really,
good.
Really good, strong scene, that one. Where he basically said to Tommy, so you realise what you've done here. I don't think you do know what you've done here. You may have just completely and utterly destroyed this family and said goodbye to your brothers. How about that? Yeah,
that was smart of Alfie,
really,
though.
Really,
he knew.
Well played. Really well
he
played.
He knew what would make him respond. He knew, saying you might get split from your mum, he'll be like, whatever. But it was saying Bert and Ernie might get split up and be separated. That made Tommy go, right. And I thought, well played, Alfie. Do you know what? I like Alfie again now after this week.
Yeah.
I'm very up and down with Alfie, but I've enjoyed Alfie this week.
I've enjoyed Alfie probably the most this week that I've enjoyed him since he returned, actually. I think this is the storyline I think that Alfie needed, I think, to sort of show. I mean, yes, the cancer stuff, obviously, was good in itself, but I
forgot about that. Sorry.
But do you know what I mean? The cancer stuff was good in itself, and it played to Alfie's strengths in terms of the vulnerability that we see in Alfie sometimes. That was fine, but I think something like this shows Alfie's stronger side as a character, where he realizes he's got to step up at this moment and actually bring out the slightly angrier side of Alfie that we don't get to see all that often in a positive way. I mean, rather than him standing on the top of the stairs and chastising Kat for being abused like he did the last time he was back, which I hope we never venture
just forget about that. Just
anywhere
about
close
that
ever again. Yeah, exactly. So this is the Alfie that we want.
Yeah.
So the future of this looks to be bleak, basically. Yeah. How far does this go? Obviously, this is not going to be Kat's last beating from Tommy. So where's
this is
it go?
I can't decide where it's going to go. I think Tommy's going to be very smart about it.
How far does it go from here? Because there's no guilt from Tommy whatsoever. This is the thing. Sometimes in these abuse scenes, what we see, especially, you know, in terms of whether that be between husband and wife, whether that be between, you know, you have this moment where the best example I could think of this was when it was in Corrie, when Simon and Leanne had a similar storyline to this.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember there being like modicums of guilt in Simon whenever he lashed out and angrily. There was nothing like that in Tommy. This is pure cold, pretty much calculated abuse at this point.
It's not like he's thinking, oh God, I've just acted in a way. What have I just done?
Yeah.
Why have
like,
I just
not bothered.
It's like,
not bothered.
There's more of that coming,
yeah.
Mum.
Not in the slightest bothered.
Being,
oh, sorry, you're going to lash out back at me. All right, I'll just bring the police then, shall I? Like, this is another level. So
I don't know. How far is he going to take it? Is Kat going to be his only victim? Is he going to start?
Well,
the
other side of this, of course, is this going to start affecting Bert and Ernie in terms of learned behaviour? Like, are they going to start lashing out at Kat as well because they've seen because they're at a very influential age, so they can see their brother doing something. You know, you with my year older brother, of course. So, are they going to look at Tommy's behaviour and start acting that way as well? I feel like it could move in that direction as well, and then Kat's really going to be left with no idea of what to do with the situation.
Or is it going to end up being, this is, I don't know where this has just come from in my head. It's not that out of the order. It's not that bad. Is Phil going to be the one who sees Tommy really laying to Kat sometime? And then Phil's just going to lose his crap and suddenly go on Tommy or something for it and be like, oh, you want to sit? I don't know.
Yeah,
like
maybe.
That.
I mean, I'm intrigued
Tom
to see
Phil taking his frustrations
I am intrigued to see where Phil is going to slot into this storyline and what role he's going to play. Because clearly Phil is a part of this story.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued to sort of see where his role lies within it. I can see what will eventually happen is that Tommy will end up living with Phil at some point. And then maybe the ultimate ending of the storyline will be Tommy tries to hit Phil. And good luck with that, young guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, maybe that's going to be the pinnacle of it, because Phil is going to look at, oh, sorry, you're trying to start on me. Okay, this is a thing. So there's a number of different directions they could take this in. It's a brave storyline to do. It's an important storyline to do. It happens. Obviously, charities, all that sort of thing have all been consulted. So we know that they're doing it properly. I'm mostly delighted for that Jessie Wallace is getting something big to do, because she's been in dire need of it. I think it feels weird because Kat's sort of been there, and especially involved with the Phil stuff and the Phil and Sharon stuff. Like, she's been great, but she hasn't had her own proper time in the spotlight for a long, long time. So I'm glad that she's finally getting that. So yeah, I'm tentatively say I'm looking forward to seeing how this develops, but it's going to be a rough watch. So a couple of smaller storylines before we get to Ree being smug and the big storyline of Reese. First off, we'll talk about Penny and Chelsea.
That bitch.
I mean, this was quite the moment for Penny, wasn't it?
I hate her. I don't even like how she is. I hate her.
I mean, I saw people online as thinking as though this was really out of character for Penny. It's like, no, it's not.
No, it's not. I didn't expect it, but it's certainly not out of character. She's very ruthless.
I didn't expect her to do it quite as blatantly as she did. Like, that was quite
a
shocker.
She openly admitted it to Chelsea as well. She weren't
bothered on her.
There were a vacancy. Yeah, and, I saw an opportunity. Not like, oh, me and Phil got chatting and he asked me and I had to take it because she was
Not bothered about that. No.
Got your job now.
So, Penny's basically bored on the market. She's sick of people taking advantage of her because, you know, Avani nicks a top and runs off and she's like, well, what am I supposed to do? So she wants more control in her life, I think is what happens. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's the key component of it, is the fact that she feels like she is taken advantage of because she wants to be in charge. She wants to show people that she's not to be taken advantage of. I think this is where this spirals from.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. So she... Chelsea says, well, I can give you a promotional thing in Peggy's. That's not a problem. So they are planning all this out in Peggy's, and Penny decides to open a bottle of champagne to celebrate this new venture between the two of them because they're sisters now. Not for long.
Wicked stepsisters.
Yeah. Phil wanders down and sees Chelsea drinking from this champagne bottle that hasn't been paid for. So instantly says, well, you're demoted. Frankly, I'm amazed he didn't sack her, because normally Phil sacks people in this situation.
I'm surprised he didn't sack her, actually, yeah.
But actually, what it is even more humiliating, because she's now just Penny's subordinate.
Yeah.
Because Penny strolls into the office and is like, so you're going to give me that job then, yeah?
Vacancy,
yeah. I'll take that. Cheers, thanks. And Phil's like... Fair play.
I love that Phil does no background checks or anything.
No, Phil can care less.
But I feel like Phil's like,
punishing Chelsea.
You, so you can have the job.
He's punishing Chelsea. He's punishing Chelsea, and he's like, yeah, fair. I like the way you did that. Yeah, that's how I do it.
And he's like, oh, well, she's Jack Brannan's kid, so she must be legit.
Yeah, because Jack's all legit.
And he knows that Jack's not all legit, but I get the idea.
I think there's a component of it where he's just punishing Chelsea further. Like, it's just, you know, it's just a way of Phil exerting his own power over the situation.
Phil's loneliness making him feel in control of something.
You know, I said this to you before we started. It's considering that Phil is going through this loneliness storyline, he featured in pretty much all the stories of this week.
Yeah,
separately.
He did.
Completely separately.
Literally.
In a different
every
role in every
one,
single
yeah.
one. Yeah. So Penny literally turns into Alan Sugar, is sat behind her desk and tells Chelsea, yeah, well, you can call me Miss for a start. And she's just an absolute dick to her, isn't she?
This is what I mean. I like, do you know how, like, with Janine, you know that she's bad and awful, but you love it. I just don't love this with Penny, though. I don't like it. Hopefully we'll grow to like how she is, but right now I just think she's nasty for its sake. Maybe it's because I like Chelsea. I'm like, how can you do
in
that to Chelsea?
Side.
That's so harsh.
It was just so underhand the way she did it.
Yeah,
it was like
underhand.
It was really callous the way she did it. There was no consideration there whatsoever. The fact that Chelsea's got a kid that she needs to provide for.
Yeah, exactly.
And she needs that manager's wage to pay for the fact that she lives in probably the most expensive house in Wolford.
Yeah.
You know,
nothing,
no interest in that whatsoever. It's like, yeah, I'll have that. Cheers, thanks. Yeah, I'm your boss now, so you want to be doing as I say or you're going to be sacked. And then he's giving this really sanctimonious lecture to everybody else who works there, and then everybody else who thinks about stealing, you'll be sacked as well, even though she instigated the stealing in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Mad.
And then when Chelsea goes and tells Phil, oh, by the way, she's like Paris's best drug dealer, he's like, well, I don't like grasses.
Yeah, just amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, I mean, I guess this is going to start a bit of a little mini feud between Chelsea and Penny. I know you say this about Penny, but I like these sorts of stories I like these war within the workplace type storylines. I find them quite fun to watch. So I feel like there's going to be quite a lot of that.
Yeah.
And the fact that obviously Lauren's on her side, even though Lauren has experienced firsthand what Penny can be like with her underhandedness and not care and her own sort of twisted survival instincts to keep herself out of trouble. You know, she nearly went to prison because of her. But Lauren saw, but that's the only thing I thought was a bit weird, because Lauren was like, yeah, fair play. Like, no.
Yeah,
you've been there.
But Penny might not have told her the full story, to be fair. Penny might have just gone, well, Chelsea got sacked. Maybe she's been like that with Lauren and said, Chelsea got sacked, so I just saw an opportunity. So Lauren's like, oh, nice one. Yeah, you got yourself a good job. I've got a job now. We can both afford the flat that we live in. Maybe that's why Lauren were seeing it like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I need to see a bit more of this feud now. But
it's
after this week,
I think it came across quite
I'm
suddenly,
not a fan of Penny
at all. It was quite a sudden sort of directional shift, but I don't think it was out of character for her at all. In fact, to be fair, what I would also argue is that Penny actually hasn't had that much to do since she arrived. So anybody who's talking about her being out of character, I'd argue, what are you basing that on? You know, we have seen her arrive.
I don't feel out of character at
No, I don't
all.
think it does. So I
Yeah.
wasn't, I think I was just shocked by just how uncaring she was about the whole thing. I was like, wow, that's cold. Like,
Do you
okay.
think that Chelsea's going to somehow be involved? Not Chelsea, sorry, Penny going to be involved somehow in the spiking? Is that going to carry on being a bit of
I
a
don't
topic?
know.
Because
I kind
obviously
of
it
hope.
happened in the club.
Yeah, and we've heard that it's been happening in out in the Albert
In
as
Watford,
well.
yeah.
So in the Albert as well. So I wonder, it might be a thing. But then I wonder if the one guy that was arrested for it, I wonder if he was the guy that was doing it. So I don't know.
Yeah,
It's
if
a.
it was just him going around doing
You
it.
could be right. I the thing is, I'm wondering how capable Penny is going to be at doing this. Is she going to find that the job itself, like being the manager of a really busy bar, is too much for her? And then she's going to end up realizing
I
that this
think
was a
she'll
really
just
bad
blag
idea.
it. She'll just blag it for as long as possible, I think. I think she's got Phil wrapped around her finger already with the looks of it. Do you think, by the way, do you think Potter is only doing it? Do you remember that comment she said to Chelsea, like, oh, you get loads of fit guys who are drunk? Brilliant. Do you think she's gonna like take advantage of that? And that's one of her other
She's pretty ruthless, is Penny. So
motivations,
yeah,
yeah.
I'm intrigued to sort of see where how far Penny's going to go and how much of a ruthless character she's actually going to
Yeah.
become. I know you don't like her because of that, but I'm
Yeah, but I'm
it's
willing to. I'm being
yeah, it's
open-minded about it. But based on this week, I'm not a fan.
don't like her as a
Must admit,
person. Yeah, no,
no.
I
Yeah,
feel
it's
like
not like anything. Like the actress is doing
Oh
a
no, I know.
fantastic job
Isn't
because I
she?
can't
I think
stand her.
I know because that smirk she gave to Chelsea, what to punch her, didn't you? Like
Yeah,
she so
literally.
she's doing that brilliantly. Like clearly
Yeah.
this is supposed to be Penny at her most unlikable, and we're supposed to be
Yeah.
feeling this way
Yeah.
about her. So if that's the go if that's the goal
Well
achieved,
done.
back of the net, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, bring it on. But I like I say, I like these sort of work feud storylines. We've not had one for a while. And I like the club as a setting. I feel like it's something that we should be exploring more. Zach's now kind of been left with not very much to do, so he can get
Yeah,
involved
I
in this as
wonder.
well. So I'm always up for
Yeah.
it. I'm always up for storylines that kind of give characters stuff to do that they've been quiet for a little while. So yeah, bring all this on. That's fine. I do want to briefly discuss Lauren and the stuff with Louis.
Oh, yeah, from the week before.
Yes, I forgot to mention this earlier. So Louis, it transpires, has dyscalculia.
Yes.
Dyscalculia. Now, I relate to this because I've got this as well.
Oh.
I've always really, really, really struggled with numbers. And I don't mean this in the same sort of way as now people turn around and say, oh, it's my OCD when they haven't got OCD at all. It's like I really, really struggled with numbers. It's the only subject that I failed at school. I got a U in my GCSE in maths. Numbers have always the only thing I can do. I used to work in a supermarket on the tills, and I can do the money thing because it's very much routine. And you're sort of like 50, 60, 70. I can do that. But giving me sums, I can't do sums in my head at all. So
So what
I.
is it? Is it like, is it literally like number dyslexia? Do the numbers
Yeah.
like
It's
look all
essentially,
jumbled
yeah.
up on the page and things like that too, if you're looking at
I mean, I
them?
think it affects different people in different ways. I
Yeah.
can, you know, I did a test online and I got like, I think it was 75% or something. So I'm very much sort of in that spectrum
Yeah.
of like of having that. I can read numbers, not a problem. Remembering numbers is a bad thing for me. Times tables, I'm absolutely rubbish at, you know. So and mental maths, I can't do in a million years. I have to use my fingers. The sum I always use to give an example of this is 9 plus 7 for some weird reason, because I can't do that in my head. I have to
Yeah.
genuine, and some people can just reel that off quite equally.
Yeah,
I've never,
16.
e yeah, I've
Oh.
never ever been able to do
Yeah.
that. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I relate to this. I'm quite glad to sort of see this on screen
Yeah,
and sort of,
good.
and maybe I can understand my own problems a little bit
Do you
more with
think
this.
they're
So,
gonna delve into it further then? Is it gonna be a bit of a topic, or do you think it was just a plot device for Lauren and Junior?
I mean, I think maybe a bit of both. I
Bit
think this
of
is, yeah. I mean, I don't think that Lauren and Junior are about to start having an affair. Famous last words.
both.
But I think it's more to show what sleazebag Junior is, if
Oh, he's
anything,
awful.
isn't he
He's another one I
just?
don't like.
I mean, he and Cindy end up having another night together, don't they? Because obviously Cindy falls out with Ian again and has just decided that I don't know what Cindy's moaning about. She needs to make her mind up. Does she want to be with Ian or does she not want to be with Ian? Like, make
This
your
is what
mind
I'm
up, woman.
saying. I think she was more bothered about the thought of Ian having an affair because she thought, that's my
That's
thing,
my thing.
Ian.
I
Stop
do
it.
affairs.
I'm
How
the one who does
dare
the
you?
affairs. Yeah,
Yeah,
honestly,
exactly.
because,
She's
yeah.
such a messy woman. She's
Isn't
fascinating
she?
to watch,
She's
isn't she? Because
great.
she's just such a
But
mess.
this is what I mean, though. This is what I want from Penny because Cindy is awful. Like, her actions, some of them are ridiculous, but I love Cindy. I still love Cindy, but I'm not getting the Penny yet.
Where's the hypocrisy? Can I ask you though?
Oh,
Cindy
God,
and Junior have very similar personality traits. So why do you love Cindy so much and why do you hate Junior?
Do you know what it might
You're
be
a massive
with Cindy?
Misogynist, Ray, is that what it is?
She's a bit camp though, isn't she, as well with it, Cindy, don't you think?
What's that got to
Maybe
do with
it's just,
anything?
but maybe it's just because it's a bit more dramatic. Maybe it's because I know Cindy's character more.
It's
So
sexism,
once I
if you ask
get to
me, Ray.
know,
It's sexism,
what?
if you ask me. It's sexist.
Sex?
That's
Why?
sexism.
Why
That's
is
all
it
it is. Because
sexist?
you're
I don't like
loving a
Penny
woman.
either.
You're loving a woman. No, I'm not talking about Penny. I'm talking about the Junior and Cindy
Oh,
thing,
the
where they're both,
junior.
they're both exactly the same person
Because
in many ways.
Cindy doesn't. Right, no. Hang on, if you're going to say that. Because Cindy is
Winding
not
you up.
walking around
Winding you
Albert
up.
Square eyeing
Yeah.
up every man that
Yes,
she
she
comes in
is.
contact with.
Yes, she
No,
is.
she's not. No, she's not. She didn't. Oh, no, actually, that's not true.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't go to Nish where they had a thing for
Yeah,
like 2 minutes. No,
yeah.
I don't think she does it. Not in the
George,
way that Junior does
David's gonna
it.
come back. Junior, she couldn't get with George, so he decided to go with his son instead.
Junior,
It's
no, literally, Junior like looks at any woman who crosses his path and is
I'm
like,
not denying that Junior. I'm not denying that
you'll do.
Junior.
Come on then. Come on then.
I'm not
Cindy's
denying that
got
Junior.
a bit pickier. Come on.
Oh, I mean, I'm not denying that Junior is an absolute sleazebag. There's no denying there whatsoever. I'm just intrigued by the fact that they are, in many ways,
I know what you're
very
saying.
similar personality
I
types.
do
They're
know what you're
both
saying.
completely moralist when it comes to affairs and all that kind of thing. So there's
I know what you're yeah.
maybe in some ways they're quite well suited together. It's an interesting sort of
But I do know
dichotomy.
Cindy's character better, so that's probably why I'm all right with Cindy. We don't know that much about
Interesting.
Junior. Maybe when we find out more of his background and we understand why he behaves that way.
I'm, you
Anyway.
know, I am very aware that very often the woman gets the blame in these sorts of situations. So I'm not doing that, but I'm just intrigued.
Cindy, Junior. Oh no.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Yeah,
I
there you
don't
go.
know.
There you go. Right. So we have one brief little storyline left to discuss before we get to the big one, and that is Linda. So before we get to the big one, briefly discuss Linda and the plea hearing that Dean has approaching. Obviously, Linda not dealing with the situation well, and she is starting to behave a little bit suspiciously in front of Bernie.
Yeah.
How much longer is Linda going to be able to keep on top of this? Because it's not looking good, is it? She started drinking again. It's a matter of time, I think. This is all going to cascade quite quickly, I think, isn't it?
It depends on how well is she going to do, because obviously she's a key witness in September, they said, when it's his actual
So the
court
court case
case.
approaches. The plea hearing obviously he's pleaded not guilty to
Not
that, but
guilty, yeah.
they're keeping him in prison for the moment. Do you think that, I mean, obviously this is just prediction of what's going to happen in the court case, but is that going to be the end of Dean? Is he going to be released? Is what's going to happen, do we think? Oh, and do we reckon on the subject of returns, Shirley?
Oh, maybe she'll come back for the court
Yeah,
case.
maybe. That would be good,
Is
wouldn't it?
Dean going to have got in touch with her somehow from prison and be
I
like,
reckon
Mum, you've
so.
got to believe me? And
I
she'll be
reckon
like, I actually
so.
do believe
I
you,
reckon
Dean.
so. I reckon so. I think we might.
Interesting.
I'm going to put my yeah. I'm going to put a prediction on that we're going to see Shirley at the court case.
I
Yes.
hope so. I really hope so. I'd love to see
Yeah.
Shirley back. I love
So would I.
Shirley.
Glenys did say we've not seen the last of her, and it does sort of remind me, the way that Shirley's left sort of reminds me of the way that Emily Bishop left Corrie, where the
Yeah.
producer was like, no, we've not seen the last of her, and she's not been seen in years. So it'd be interesting. But it's Linda, the fact that Linda started drinking again doesn't bode well,
It
because
doesn't.
she's so loose with her tongue when she's drunk.
Well,
Like,
literally,
I
remember
was
that's
like,
why we had the scene with Sharon and Johnny, like hosing her down with a shower head.
And
Yeah.
now she started drinking again and was saying quite loudly in the cellar, I killed
I
Keanu.
did
And I was
get
sort of like, is
Anna.
anyone hearing this? Like, be careful, love, Jesus. So not good. Not good at all.
What if Phil starts drinking as well? Then you're gonna have Phil and Linda who both know this
Oh,
secret.
they're doomed. The six are doomed. That's it. It's all gonna cascade horribly from here in the run-up to the 40th. I think the way that this whole six thing is eventually gonna end is around the
The
40th,
nine
and I
now,
think
but
it's
yeah.
good. The 28, or whatever they are these days. I think it's all going to ultimately culminate in around the 40th. I think obviously that will be just something that is going on during the 40th, I think, but that's when it's all going to come out, I
You
think.
reckon,
Or maybe
yeah.
around Christmas. We've got Christmas to come as well. We have no idea what the big Christmas storyline will be
That's
at this
true.
point because it's only July. But it's I feel like this is where it's heading for either Christmas or the anniversary. Something is going to, I think the big cataclysmic explosion of the end of this storyline is going to be around that time, and Linda's going to be in prison. And then what I want to happen is Linda will be sent to prison and Janine will be her cellmate. Thanks.
Yeah, but if they send Linda to prison for this, it's going to be for a while, so hopefully not.
Oh, yeah, but then something will happen, like Richie will get her out or something, that's fine. Sharon will be,
yeah, why not?
Richie can do anything. Richie can do anything. So she'll get sent to prison for a little bit, and then Richie will sort it out, but she'll have a two-hander with Janine in her episode in her cell. That's what's going to happen. And then she's going to get released. Perfect. Can't wait for that to happen. Marvellous.
Sounds like it's, yep.
Yep, done. That's that done then. Right. Biggest storyline of the week now. Look at the smug expression on her face. Let's talk about Reese.
So, Rob, do you remember a couple of weeks ago that I had a theory whilst we were recording an episode?
Yep.
Do you remember what that theory was? It was to do with Reese and his wife, Debbie.
Yep. Yes,
you know, these crazy theories that I supposedly have that are
even a broken clock's right twice a day, you know?
Exactly. And this broken clock is very right.
Yes, on this occasion, the broken clock is
absolutely bang on. I mean, to be fair, once
on.
I'd said it, it made total sense, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't, by the time it happened, it seemed like literally the only option that was available for the storyline to actually progress. But
was it the only option, Rob, or could they have just moved Debbie to a council room place?
Yeah, they could have
like
done. But you know
what?
If they'd if they'd done that, then she possibly wouldn't have had her makeup done every morning and wouldn't have looked
that
so angelic.
True.
You
is
know,
that what they were paying for?
I think
extras?
So. Professional. Right, I think 13 grand's worth of makeup experts to make her look her best every single morning. That Debbie absolutely looks like angelic when she's in bed.
Stunning, doesn't she?
Absolutely stunning. And she had this really sort of Sleeping Beauty type smile on her face throughout the entire thing, which disappeared as soon as she was suffocated.
Well, it would, wouldn't it?
So, Reese is a killer. I don't think I'm thrilled with this development, I have to say. I didn't want it to go in this direction. I pray to God that this is the only death in this storyline and this is going to be more about...
Well, I was just going to say, it depends where this turns now. Is he going to carry on killing people now he's got
the
book?
I really don't want that. I really, really don't want a serial killer storyline out of this. I really don't, but...
He's desperate.
Never,
he's getting desperate.
It's never just one,
it is
it?
It is Sir
it's,
John Stake.
This
State,
is John Stake. It's John Stake all the way through this storyline.
From Coronation Street for anyone who doesn't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, if you've not heard us discuss this, but this isn't the first time we've said this. John Stake basically was a storyline in Coronation Street where it was basically a really fumbling serial killer that didn't necessarily want to be a killer.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like a moustache twiddling villain, was he? But he sort of his own lies just sort of kept tripping him up, and he found himself in various situations where he had to keep killing just to keep people quiet and his lies just escalated and his life just exploded and it all became terrible. And there is a perfectly sort of feasible route for Reese to be going in that direction. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just don't want it. I'm gutted that, because the thing is now, Reese is now on the shelf, isn't he? This has given Reese a shelf life. He can't stay.
Don't know. Let's have faith. But
well,
I'll be surprised if it doesn't go that way.
It'll be gone by the anniversary, is my prediction.
Do you know what I've been theorizing? And you know what? You can't say anything about my theories anymore, by the way.
Oh,
no matter how out there they are.
Can I not, little Miss Bird Poo on the front door? Yeah, go on.
I've got one right. Oh, stop talking about that bird poo. I was just riffing when I said that.
Yeah, riffing, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, go on then.
No, I'm wondering, right? And this is total conspiracy, if you like. Mm-hmm. But Natalie Cassidy has been doing a lot of podcast recordings, etc. Is she going to leave?
No, I don't think so. I don't think
so. Nothing's been announced, but is she going to get sent to prison for Debbie's death?
The thing is, Natalie Cassidy's
going to leave?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she's going to leave. I think, you know, at most she might have a break, but I feel like...
Hopefully, I don't want her to leave, but...
No, but I feel like this is, yes, the fact is that it's going to be very easy to pin this on Sonia because she went to the care home to see Debbie. and put her DNA all over the bloody place with holding her hands, because Sonia's the queen of the NHS and believed that kind words could cure Debbie of her ailments and expected her to squeeze her hand in return. Yeah, that happened. And then she sort of fluffed up the pillow, moved Debbie's head. So her DNA's all over the bloody place.
Didn't even
right?
think about her fluffing the pillow. Yeah.
Yeah, she did all that. So her DNA is on the murder weapon. And then she got out, and the grumpiest nurse I've ever seen in my life bollocked her because she hadn't signed in. This nurse was so angry at life. She hated her job. Hated her job, this nurse. So...
But that was obviously being made a point of so that the nurse can be like, I know you were there. Because I was in a very angry, you know, that's an unforgettable moment.
And even without her, there'll be CCTV footage and all of this kind of thing.
Well, if the CCTV footage, then you'll see Reese. So there's not going
to
be CCTV.
But Reese has a reason to be there because he's the husband, right?
Reese, but he would have been the last person to see her, and they would have said, did you not notice that she was dead? Like,
well, what is the difference between visually, what is the difference between where she was and...
Well, a smile had gone, for one.
That's true. She stopped smiling. Yeah. Her makeup had faded. Her makeup was all over the pillow. What's gone on here? I mean, so basically the start of all this is Reese's money problems are continuing. He owes 13,000 odd grand to the care homes because their makeup artists are really, really expensive. Mm-hmm. So he's basically trying to swindle more money out of Sharon. Phil, again, involved in another storyline this week, is basically kind of doesn't trust Reese as far as he can find the piano.
Fully fair on this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sharon would normally be all over this, but obviously we've been seeing her with Linda, and she's completely distracted by the Keanu stuff.
Yeah.
But then the fact that she's like 13 and a half grand, might double it. Go on then, Reese.
I can move that around. Yeah, she didn't seem overly concerned about the fact that she had to pay 13 grand. I mean,
and
if that
corporation
was either of us,
taxing,
we'd be like, how the hell am I going to find 13 grand from anywhere?
Phil was totally right to be like, well, that's a load of rubbish. We're on tax. I understand how that works, and to get a figure like that would be wrong.
Yeah.
you didn't pay 13 and a half grand on your end of year tax returns last year. That's quite a big sum to miss. And
I mean, they basically they papered over that with the fact that Sharon's been a bit busy
of late,
dealing with Keanu and everything.
Even
so
still, I thought she was super naive, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But
the thing is, I think that she decided to go with this deal just to sort of go against Phil. I don't think she wanted
I think
it was more to do with that rather than going, oh, I could make money out of this. She's like, no, screw you, Phil. I'm going to do what I want. Thanks very much.
Well, actually, I'm the one who signs it over. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm also kind of wondering where Reese thinks he's going to get all this extra money from. It's like he's thinking very immediately in these situations rather than thinking of the long-term implications of what he's doing.
Well, it was only when Sonia said, we've got to carry on paying him, you know, we're still going to have to pay these fees that he went,
and also the fact that once he'd done the deed with Debbie, he didn't even consider for the fact that there's going to be a post-mortem. So they're going to know that she hasn't died from natural causes.
How did he not think that?
Well, I think he genuinely thought it would make sense for her to die. I think he genuinely thought, like, she's been unconscious for God knows how long now, for many, many months. It makes sense.
Everyone
for it to
has
slip
a
away.
Postmortem. Everyone has a postmortem. Is that fact? Is that not something
that
we all know?
Yeah, and this is, I think, where the John Stape elements are going to start coming into it because of just complete and utter incompetence in terms of how he's going about this. All these money worries kind of keep going on. And so he decides that the only option he has is for Debbie to slip away because hopefully that will make all the money problems disappear. So he goes to the care home and very tearfully says goodbye to Debbie and then places the pillow over it. Now, was there a moment where you kind of thought, has he done it? Has he not done it?
Because the duff was holding the pillow.
I was clinging to every hope that he hadn't done it. But I was, because
I was like, is someone going to walk in and
Or is she going to wake up? Actually, she'd woken up at that moment. You know, I wondered if she was going to wake up just as he was about to put the pillow down. That would have confused matters slightly. But no, he put the pillow over her face and he killed her.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But this is what I mean. Why was the option kill her or send her to... Like, just send her to a council room place.
Put her somewhere cheaper, for God's sake. How about that? But then I suppose he'd still have the debts to pay, wouldn't he?
Does he still have... What?
He's still got to pay
I assumed
for the... I don't know. He's still got the 30. Even if the bills are going to stop from now on, he's still got the 13 grand that he owes anyway. So his money problems don't necessarily completely disappear immediately, because he's still going to have to find.
But he doesn't have to keep paying if she goes to a council place. That's what I'm saying. He didn't have to kill her.
No, I know, but he still would have to have paid the money that he owed up to then to the posh council place, and then would have to have found more money to put her in somewhere else, and as well as now finding more money to show Sharon that he was right in giving her she was right in giving him all the money. He's in so much debt. Like, he's screwed.
I think he can write that Sharon debt off and go, "I'm sorry, Sharon, it didn't come through."
But then isn't she now going to say, "Oh, can I have a 13 grand back then?"
Well, no, because she's signed it over.
It's tenuous. Let's be fair. He's screwed. He's absolutely screwed, I think.
Main thing is, he's saying how clumsy it was. Who is it who's going to figure it out what he did? Because we've just theorized that Bianca's going to be back. What if she isn't under the shed right now? I'm even believing that now.
Yeah.
But she might not be right now. But she might come back and put all the pieces together about Reese, figure it out, and then he locks her away or something.
Yeah. It's all gonna go now in a very.
Now you believe that Bianca could get locked up in a shed.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
I know.
And then there'll be other people tied up as well, you know. And that poor person's got to be tied to a pole with Bianca gobbing off next to them. It's going to be torture, absolute torture. So yeah, I mean, my initial reaction to this is, oh God. Because I didn't want Reese to be a killer, because I quite like Reese as the comedy character that he was. I've no drama about giving him a serious storyline to do, but I feel like this is now giving him a shelf life. It's now turned him into an unforgivable character. No matter what sort of motives you kind of can almost understand as to why he did what he did, it's still giving him a shelf life. It's still turned him into a killer. And where the hell does it go from here?
And they're already trying to turn him into looking a little unhinged, aren't they? Like when he started laughing and then crying.
Yeah.
They're all he's gone mad.
He's gone mad. Sonia's pregnant still. Is she going to work out? Yeah, that was the other thing that was kind of spurred him to this, because I've now got to pay for a kid that's on the way. Like the first time in the whole process of his IVF storyline where he was like, I could do with you not being pregnant at this moment, to be honest. So it's all sort of cascading horribly into a big chasm of messiness for Reese now. So I don't know. I just pray that this is the only death in the storyline. I don't want him to become a serial killer. I really don't. Like, this feels like it's enough. You know what I mean? Like, he's just killed his wife, okay? Because he's been that desperate. How does he deal with the guilt of doing that? He surely doesn't have to kill anybody else. Surely.
Who else would he kill, though? Let's be real. Or who else would he... This is what I mean, though. There's no one that I can think of that, right, we're going to literally write them off forever. But Lauren and Martin have been getting involved a little bit now as well.
Yeah, who knows? This is the problem with these sorts of storylines. I'm still somewhat scarred by the Grey story, where they were literally just throwing characters they wanted to get rid of in Grey's direction and giving him really tenuous reasons
Tina,
to kill
that
them.
Never happened.
No, Tina shouldn't have happened. Kush shouldn't have happened. Oh, God, Chantel's death was the best part of that storyline, and then it all went south from there.
Oh, yeah.
So this is what worries me about these sorts of storylines, is that it's always a good it's a good way to get rid of a few characters if you want to. You know, it's effectively like a long-running stunt storyline. Like, you want to kill off a few characters, let's blow up a building. But this is a longer-term way of doing it. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I trust this era to do stuff right. At the moment, I'm feeling like it's a bit of a misfire, but I could be completely wrong. But at the moment, I feel like I didn't want Reese to become a killer. He's now a killer. And how much worse is this going to get for his character?
I'm wondering, is it all going to ultimately end in a bit of a... God, we keep talking about Corey. I'm really sorry if you...
People have never even heard of Corey.
Is it going to end in a bit of a Richard Hillman type thing, and he's going to drive into her and he's going to, with Sonia and the baby, and be like, well, if we can't all live together...
I love you!
It's always
you and me, always and forever, but played on the tuba.
Oh,
there you go. Tuba music playing as they go into the canal. The people have no idea what we're talking about. We'll carry on.
Sorry if you don't.
So there's that. So that's all happened. So at the moment, I feel like it's initially The first thing he's going to have to deal with is the post-mortem, which is going to surely reveal that she was suffocated.
Yeah.
So this is all going to start going... This isn't something that he's going to be able to hide for very long. The first thing is people are going to come asking Sonia and him questions because they are the only people that have been into Debbie's room.
Mm-hmm.
So surely his only way of... He's going to have to stitch up Sonia for this now, isn't he?
Well, yeah, because as well, all the evidence is on Sonia. Sonia's pregnant. They're in debt. She's tried to put the house up for sale. Now she doesn't have to because Debbie's not there. She's made a passing comment to Martin. Did anybody else hear that when she said it to Martin? Remember when she was talking to him on the stall?
Yeah, you know who walked past when she said that? Was Jack and Callum.
Of course.
And Callum were walking past when she said
that.
Yeah,
but Jack will have her back.
I don't know if they heard
got
it.
Denise's back with Keanu.
I don't know if they heard it. They didn't actually. I think they kind of... I feel like their head, Callum will be all over it. I think one of their heads, I can't remember which one it was, but one of their heads slightly turned when she said it, but then sort of carried on with their own conversation. So I feel like it was very deliberate that two police officers walked by at the point that she said that. So yeah, this Sonia's going to get ended up getting fitted up for this. So I don't know. I don't know where this goes from here. I'm concerned in the fact that I just don't like serial killer storylines, so I hope it's not going down that route. I'm kind of gutted that Reese has now got a shelf life. He'll be gone by the anniversary, I think, now, because surely he has to be. He's going to face justice for it at some point. So that's it. That's the end of Sonia and Reese's relationship as we knew it from this point onwards, I think, which is a shame because I thought they worked really, really well together.
Yeah, I know. Same. But this is the way that it's gone. And you know what? there were so many people who saw this coming before us, Rob.
I know,
Is there wrong? And we're like,
I was in denial this whole time. And the thing is, this has obviously been planned from the start with Reese because the production team have been saying all the way through this, we know you've got questions about Reese, don't worry. No, we know the answers, but you will soon. Don't you worry about that. So this has clearly been the plan throughout this, ever since they introduced Angelic Debbie. So it's, by the way, I'd love to have had her role. That's a great role to have, isn't it? You come into work every so often, lie down, go sleep for a few hours. That's all right. I could do it. Get paid an actor's wage. I'd love that. Oh, well, perfect. Yeah, perfect. Do you have to audition for a part like that, do you think?
Yeah, I would have thought so.
What do you do?
I was actually watching and I was like, when he put the pillow over, I can't even see the actress breathing because sometimes you can still see him breathing.
Yeah. Their eyelashes are very flutter still. You get the odd eyelash flutter or something. Yeah. Or can you visibly show me the difference between you being in a coma and being dead? Like, show me the differences in that, fair play to her. So there we are then. So let's see where that goes from here. Gold star this week, Ree. What do you think?
Reese!
You actually give it to Reese. Yeah. Give it to Reese, that's fine. I was going to give mine to Sonia, actually. I really enjoyed Sonia this week. There was a great scene between her and Martin and Lauren. I like that scene in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Some great lines there with the red flag, peach flag, and magenta flag.
Sure, I like magenta that. Then, Lauren, yeah,
I thought that was a great
cousin.
I thought that was a great little scene. Sonia is so funny when she's sanctimonious. Yeah. I love her. Go on.
I was just going to say, I need to justify giving it to Reese.
No.
He has done so well. What a performance this week, though. Mm. Come on. Like, I hate the way that it's going, but brilliant performance of it. And
I just got to accept it now. It's happened. I'm disappointed that it's gone in this route.
We're speculating. We don't know he's going to turn into a serial killer. We don't know where it's going.
Well, put it like this. Where I have faith is the fact that there's been many, many storylines in this era where I thought, well, clearly it's going in that direction, and they've subverted my expectations. Now, the predictable point of this is you think this is the start of a soap serial killer storyline, and I hope that they do the subverting again and send it in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one feels like enough in terms of the... Because you've got to think about it. He has got to deal with this guilt. He doesn't have to kill somebody else in order to make the guilt go away, does he? Does he?
Maybe he won't kill, and it'll just be like we say, he's going to lock a few people up in a shed to keep them quiet for a bit.
We'll have to wait and see. Let us know in the comment section below where you think this is going. What do you think of the story? What are you going to think of anything that's happened this week with the Cat and Tommy stuff? Let us know in the comment section below. Right. Talking of comments, talking of you guys, let's see what you had to say about this week's EastEnders.
So starting with a comment from Emma Selby, who says, I'm still unclear about whether Debbie has life insurance Reese can now claim. If not, could he have not just moved her to the public care home? Or maybe it's an even darker side of him that sees her as an impediment to his life moving forwards. So much they can do now with this story.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that was interesting about this was the fact that many people were saying that they didn't believe that Debbie had even had a stroke or something, and that Reese had somehow responsible for her being in hospital, which, again, I think throughout all of these theories have been thrown out about Reese, I've been sort of batting them away going, no, not believing that, no, because I just didn't want them to be true, even though they make perfect sense.
See, now I'm more inclined to believe that he didn't have anything to do with it, actually, and that she did just have a stroke.
Oh, no, she's definitely just...
this is him in desperate times.
She's definitely just had a stroke, because actually, logically, why, like, she's been in a care home, for Christ's sake. Like,
so then why would he try and kill her and then keep paying for a care?
Yeah, exactly.
Unless he was mad, feeling mad guilt about it.
But
she did make a point of, you know, I kept saying, why not send her to a care home? Is it because he's wanting to claim a life insurance, actually?
Maybe. I mean, he wanted to give her the best care possible. And at the time, he could afford to do that.
Yeah.
But then obviously his life sort of gone downhill a little bit since then in terms of his finances. So maybe I think that's basically how it's ended up. Gemma Archer has said, love him or hate him, Reese is such an interesting character. I hope this isn't the beginning of another serial killer storyline, but if it is, at least he's a bit more three-dimensional than Grey. It's a very extreme version of how people under extreme pressure make decisions they wouldn't ordinarily make and somehow manage to justify to themselves what they have done. Looking forward to seeing where this goes. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, I mean, I think this is just my complete and utter... because it's just been done so many times since Richard Hillman. Like, every soap has been looking for its own Richard Hillman, including Corrie, trying to replay victories. Since that storyline started, and they've become more and more sort of long-winded and predictable in some ways, you know what I mean? And obviously, the last time EastEnders did a serial killer storyline, it was not received brilliantly.
Great.
So, I mean, again, it's a different team. I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how it goes. I really don't know.
She's right, though. At least he is a lot more three-dimensional than Grey.
100%. Yeah, he's more interesting. He's more interesting than Grey. And he's got more personality than Grey in a lot of ways as well. But I don't know.
I've got a comment here from Rachel Fleming who says, well, that has wrecked Reese now. I really like the character when he arrived, but now they've created a shelf life for him. He now reminds me of the John State character from Corrie, ignoring the affair with Rosie Webster.
I don't know who you mean. Who's John State? No, John State. We never met. I think the comparisons are there for that, aren't they? It's a different way of telling that story in terms of, like, you haven't got a moustache-twiddling villain. So it's somebody that is just watching their life just completely and utterly disintegrate around them. So that's an interesting story. But I don't know. Then we had a bit of a conflab on Facebook. Becky L. Pickering started with, I feel like one of the few people who have consistently enjoyed the story, and I really like Reese. You're not alone in liking Reese. I think, you know, before this storyline, I liked that he served as some light comic relief and a unique character. Yes. I've also enjoyed seeing a character who is a nice person get pushed and pushed until he ends up doing things he never would have. It's very interesting to me.
And then Jordan Carter has replied with, I agree with this. I think it's added a lot of layers to his character. Sure, it does create a shelf life, but it beats the stereotypical villain that is usually made in soaps. I don't see him becoming the next serial killer, but I wouldn't be opposed to it if it's done right. This will certainly be a big storyline for the anniversary week. I'm happy with the direction of this character and look forward to what happens next.
There you go. See, different views and everything. I mean, the thing is, I have liked Reese and I've loved the comedy that he's brought. I think he's been a really funny character. So for me, I feel like it's a shame that we're clearly now going to lose that.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest casualty out of this, that we've lost a genuinely good comedy character.
I agree, but it's interesting because a lot of people have hated him since he come in anyway.
Yeah,
so they're
weird,
probably not as fussed
he's been quite a Marmite character, and so something like this actually gives them a good reason to dislike him. So it's weird, isn't it? And then finally on the Tommy storyline, Amy Louise Whitewolf, good name, has said, wonder if the Tommy and Kat abuse storyline will end in a return of Zoe, who was a product of the last time Kat was abused by family. Possibly a recast, but I bet Chris Clenshaw could coax anyone into returning at this point, or her evil Irish twin Dermot, who hasn't been mentioned since Redwater. We don't speak about Redwater.
We don't speak of Redwater.
No. But great point there, Zoe. And it's Yeah.
No, it's got you can't do a recast to Zoe. I'm
well,
sorry.
There's no point if they're doing big returns for the running up to the 40th. There's no point in recasting. Either do it or you know. But I agree that there is definitely potential for Zoe in this storyline, and I think it's a really, really interesting point raised there about the product of the last time Kat was abused by family. Because actually, obviously, Kat has a long history of abuse within the family home. So it's interesting to sort of see how Kat will deal with this. Kat has been abused quite a lot in her life. She's one of these people that I think sort of when she thinks that she deserves it, because we all know that Kat is a really tough exterior, but quite a soft, vulnerable interior. So I'm intrigued to sort of see where Kat goes with this. It's whether she's going to sort of put her head down and deal with the beatings that she's going to receive because she thinks that she deserves it, or whether she's going to fight back. The fact that she fought back this time and Tommy immediately went and ran the police suggests to me that she's going to have to deal with it differently the next time it happens. So I think there is the potential for this to be a really interesting study of Kat's psychological makeup in terms of the effects that her life has had on her up to this point and how she then deals with this.
I wonder if now that you said that, she's almost going to allow Tommy to do it and say, just whatever you do, don't hurt your brothers, because she thinks in a way that'll keep the family together. Otherwise, if you just start taking it out on other family members or she starts retaliating, social services are going to come knocking again. So is she going to go, do you know what? The easiest way is for me to allow you to take your anger out on me.
Interesting.
The boxing's clearly not worked, has it?
No, it doesn't seem that is always the solution to angry men. Who knew? Who knew? Right, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for joining us for this extra long episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favourite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
Yes, you can indeed. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back same time next week. Promise. And we will be back same time next week until I go to Asia. Unless Reed decides to drop an extra holiday on me. Let's hope she doesn't.
Shout him.
No. So there we are then. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. It's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye. See you later. Bye.
Bye.